You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Nearly half the food produced in our country is thrown away. It's hard to believe, but between the imperfect vegetables left unharvested in the fields, the outdated unsold food in grocery stores, and the leftovers we throw out at home, vast amounts of food are wasted every year, more than enough to feed every hungry American. Jonathan Bloom tells the story in American Wasteland, How America Throws Away Nearly Half of Its Food and What We Can Do About It, published by DeCapo, and I'm very pleased that it brings him to our show today. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
So has anybody done an actual study about how much food is wasted every year? Can we count that up?
Yeah, it's not
easy. Coming
to
my garbage and checking out just what I'm throwing away?
I don't think they've been to your place, but possibly. It's not easy to quantify food waste because it just goes away. But the best estimate we have is that 40% of all the food produced in this country isn't used.
And that's in a country which is very proud of its people like Ben Franklin, who said, waste not, want not.
Yeah, there's a history of being frugal with our food and using our resources wisely. Unfortunately, we've gotten away from that in the recent past.
There was a poster you have in your book from World War II that says, food is a weapon. Don't waste it. Buy wisely. Cook carefully. Eat it all. Did people heed that advice at the time?
They did. And when it was part of the patriotic duty, people certainly got on board and were wise about using their food and saving the leftovers. Unfortunately, after the war, there was an ethic that we didn't have to scrimp and save anymore. And people started to be a little more profligate with that food.
Beyond the obvious reasons, what are some of the other reasons we should keep in mind about wasted food? Food uses up a lot of energy, doesn't it?
It sure does. Well, there are three main reasons that I tell people why food waste is important and why it matters. There are the environmental reasons that you hinted at. There are economic factors, and then there's the ethics involved with all the food we throw out. Starting with the ethics, it's not as simple as clean your plate. There are people starving.
Is what my mother used to say to me.
Exactly, yeah. I'm sure everyone has heard a version of that story.
It was in India now. At least part of India, people are still starving, but a lot of people in India are eating very well.
Yeah, the location shifts with generations. But it's not a simple relationship like that, but I will say that it's morally callous to throw away so much food when so many people go without. But the economics is very straightforward. There's about $150 billion are lost each year to food waste. But I would say equally important, the environmental questions. There's a whole lot of methane that's created when we send food to the landfill, and it's a greenhouse gas that's much more potent at trapping heat than CO2. And also, there's so many resources that go into growing that food, and that's mostly oil and water.
In terms of food waste, how do we stack up against other industrialized countries?
I thought that we were leading the way. We're the so-called champions of wasting food. Fortunately, I think some of the other estimates put some of the more industrialized nations in Europe and Australia in the same tier as the U.S. But it's fairly similar throughout the first world, where this habit of waste is just taking flight.
Do we know what percentage of our incomes we spend on food?
Yeah, and that's a real factor on why we waste so much food. It's tremendously cheap. About 10% of our household spending goes toward food, and it's never been lower. It's at an all-time low, and no other nation in the world spends as little on food as we do. And when we don't spend much on something, we don't tend to value it.
And that's because we say we have learned to be efficient in growing things and creating food. Is that a bad thing?
I would say the bad thing is that we grow about twice the amount of calories that we need, and then we have this excess, and we don't put it to use. So if we were better at distributing that excess, then maybe it would be a positive.
And doesn't a fair amount of our crops actually go unharvested?
Yeah, they call those walk-bys in many cases, where a farmer sees a crop and just walks on by and doesn't harvest whole fields.
Why?
A lot of times that's because the price they will get for that field or for that crop just wouldn't justify harvesting it. And other times they are more seen as an insurance field in case something goes wrong with their primary crop.
So that's the only reason that they would grow it? Because they want to protect themselves? Otherwise, they know they're going to let it go bad?
Yeah, in many cases, that's why.
And they wouldn't want to give it away?
Well, you know, farmers certainly don't like to see their food go to waste. The farmers I've spoken with, they really dislike plowing food under. But at the same time, there's an expense to harvesting it, and they often will not do it. And that's where gleaning organizations might come in and say, hey, you know, you have this excess food. We have hungry people that we'd like to feed. We will harvest what you don't use.
And are farmers amenable to that, or do they see that as competition in a way?
Yeah, there are some farmers who don't like that, who think, well, why should I give it away when I'm trying to sell it? But for the most part, farmers are benevolent and amenable to that idea and let people come onto their land.
It's kind of like the farming version of dumpster diving.
It is, in a way. It's a little more systematized, and it's usually run by nonprofits.
But there are nonprofits out there that are doing all kinds of food rescue, aren't they?
There are. And right here, City Harvest is the biggest example of food rescue or food recovery. And these are groups that will go out and pick up and collect the food that is perfectly edible but isn't sellable. And so it's a really shrewd use of our resources, and it's a nice system to collect things that would otherwise go to waste.
And who donates the food that they distribute?
Oh, a range of places, supermarkets, restaurants, sometimes industrial kitchens, such as colleges or hospitals. Really any place that's producing food is going to have excess.
Do they have good times or bad times? Because every so often I hear that there's a crisis at City Harvest or one of the other NGOs that does this sort of thing.
Yeah, I think the time around the holidays, this time of year, is a nice time for food donation. The coffers are full often, but the rest of the year it can be a struggle. And recently, with the downturn in the economy, there's been a real shortage of donations, often the financial donations, but as well with the edible kind.
My guest is Jonathan Bloom, whose book, American Wasteland, is published by DeCapo as part of their lifelong imprint. A lot of food is wasted in restaurants, isn't it? Where is the cycle? Where in the cycle is it lost most, in the buying, in the preparation, or in the serving?
Well, at restaurants, it's mostly from the plate waste that people have when they're done with their meal. Certainly, the back of the house has a fair amount of food that they don't use. Estimates are that it's about 4 to 10%. But the problem is we're given such large portions, and I'm sure many of you out there have experienced this. You know, you sit down and you're given a plate that's probably twice the amount of calories that you need. So you're put in this position where you can overeat or you can waste it. Now, a third way would be to take those leftovers home, but some people don't enjoy leftovers. Maybe you're not going straight home. So that's where we see a lot of the waste come from.
Yeah, doggy bagging is nice, but I can't imagine doggy bagging for somebody else. A restaurant can't take all of that wasted food, that leftover food, put it in boxes and send it off to somebody who's hungry.
Well, not once it's on your plate, no. So there's kind of an ad hoc idea of replating, of a process that people have done for years where they'll take a doggy bag and find a homeless person and give it to them. But that's not a wide-scale solution.
Some of the smaller-scale restaurants are willing to run out of items, but the chains and larger restaurants pride themselves in having a large selection available at all times. So it is impossible to provide that large selection without some waste, is it?
No, it's not. And certainly the idea that a restaurant might run out of food, to me, it connotes that it's serving the freshest food possible. And that happens, as you say, a lot of independent places. But the chain restaurants, it's almost inconceivable to go into a fast food place, say, and find that they're out of hamburgers. And, you know, I worked for a caterer and...
It might be the best thing, going to a McDonald's and have them tell you they're out of those hamburgers.
It might help with the obesity problems, sure. But But I worked for a caterer, and they told me that the worst thing possible that could happen is for them to be doing a party and to run out of food. And that's like death to a caterer.
Because then the word gets out that they didn't bring enough stuff.
Yeah, we expect this abundance.
So then what happened? Then there was a lot of stuff left over.
Yeah, and that's seen as a cost of doing business.
They call it spoilage or shrinkage?
Yeah, that's one term, sure.
I always thought shrinkage was weird. I did advertising for supermarkets many years ago, and they would talk about the shrinkage problem. And it was either theft or it was stuff that they just, went past its sale date.
Yeah, and when I worked at a supermarket, they threw that term around all the time, but I found they were often or most often just talking about theft and that they were concentrated on preventing employee theft and really – this whole idea of waste, where they had all this stuff that they were throwing out every day, really didn't warrant a second's thought.
You cite some very small-scale food recycling efforts, like egg in a box. What's that?
Oh, that's a really neat idea by a woman here in New York. And she found that she was having all this leftover rice from all the Chinese takeout that she was getting. So she was having trouble finding use for it, so she thought, how about if I hard-boil an egg, put it in the box, and find a homeless person to give it to, and it's a nice nice hot meal. She heated up the rice and often would put the sauce in as well to allow for customization.
Well, restaurants can't do that. They'd be buying many more eggs than their budgets would allow.
It's certainly not not the first priority of restaurants.
What happens in fast food restaurants? How much of the food gets thrown out?
Well, I worked at a small place called McDonald's, and I found that they really didn't have too much waste. And in a way, I'm not advocating that there should be waste anywhere, but it's almost like if there was going to be waste at one restaurant, you'd like to see it at a fast food place. But when there was waste, it came from this idea of convenience, of having foods ready and waiting all the time. And they had these set limits, the amount of time that hamburger patties could sit in the keep hot bin. And French fries really were the worst, 7 minutes that they have to live. So they're kind of the mayflies of the food industry.
But they have it pretty much down to a science. It's frozen until the time comes when they need to come up with the next batch.
Yeah, they have a schedule on how many they're going to cook at each hour.
And you say you worked at McDonald's. Did you do that for research for this book?
I did, yeah. I worked at a few different places in the food chain.
A supermarket as well.
Yeah, supermarket, at a farm for a caterer, and a food waste-to-energy company.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll find out afterward just how much food gets thrown out from supermarkets and elsewhere, and also learn some of the ideas that Jonathan Bloom has for saving food, for not wasting so much. His book is called American Wasteland, How America Throws Away Nearly Half of Its Food and What We Can Do About It. It's published by Lifelong, which is an imprint of DeCapo. Stay with us. We're back with Jonathan Bloom, whose book, American Wasteland, is published by DeCapo. A number of our listeners have mentioned composting. Do you see that as a good way of taking care of our waste?
Certainly. Composting is a wise strategy for dealing with the food waste that comes up. And there's always going to be some food that isn't used. I'm not advocating that we strive to get rid of all food waste. It's not really realistic. But at the same time, I put my priority more on reducing the amount of food waste we do create.
So let's talk about the supermarket where you saw food waste close up. What was your job?
Well, I worked in the produce department, and basically I was an entry-level produce associate. And my job—
They call it an associate?
Yeah. Nice title, huh? So anyway, my job was to keep the displays stacked high and to get rid of anything that didn't look perfect. So I found that was a real area where waste came from, this superficiality of appearance trumping taste. And that happened all the time, where I'd have to cull out foods that had a small blemish.
But don't supermarkets work on very small profit margins? How can they afford to do this?
They do, and I haven't quite figured out why they're so okay with the amount of waste that they have. My work thesis is that it's just a cost of doing business. And stores know that shoppers' opinions of the produce department informs their opinion of the whole store. So this is a place where they're really going to strive to have the freshest stuff possible. And I found that I've advocated that stores put in a discount produce rack and maybe sell things at a discount that aren't perfect. And I've had real opposition to that. They just don't want anything in the store that isn't of peak freshness.
So if something would have a bump on it or a blemish, they'd rather throw it away than to sell it for slightly less?
They would.
But I'm sure there are a lot of people who would be very happy to buy it at a lower price.
Sure, sure.
I mean, they used to have day-old bakeries in New York, and they did quite well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a real burgeoning second market for these foods that aren't perfect, especially these days. And I know the store I go to that has a discount rack, I often will cruise by and see what's there. So I don't quite understand why more stores don't do that. But to be fair, some supermarkets are donating their excess or the stuff that they cull. But we need to see a whole lot more.
On the other hand, when I go to the dairy cases, I always look at the dates on the milk and the orange juice and the other things, the eggs. And then I look behind the thing that's in front and usually find out that there's a later date there. And I always buy the later one, let somebody else buy the thing that's going to go bad in a few days.
Sure. And that's human nature. I've done that from time to time. But I will say with the expiration dates, there's so much caution built into them that I advise people to approach them with a bit of skepticism. And they have to account for kind of the worst case scenario. So it's something that with most products, they don't even have to put a date on them. It's really only baby formula or infant formula, but it's the kind of thing that just caught on, and now we see it in everything from cookies to bottled water.
Well, there are also a bit of confusion out there. There are sell-by dates and use-by dates.
Yeah, there's so many terms. There's sell-by, use-by, best-by, best-before. I mean, it's a real jumble. I sometimes even get confused by it. But I would say that the sell-by is the one where we could really ignore that because it's aimed at the store. It's not aimed for consumers. And then the use-by would be the most severe. Best-by is really an indication of quality, not food safety. And to be honest, there's probably 4 to 7 days of life after that date. And there's this idea of when in doubt, throw it out. But I like to flip that around and say we should really give the food the benefit of the doubt and trust our senses.
When you were working in the produce department, how long would, let's say, a head of lettuce last?
Well, those are pretty hardy. Most of them come from California, and they survived that cross-country journey pretty well. And they're fairly bulletproof, and they would sell rather quickly. So I'm not entirely sure the number of days, but it's pretty impressive.
I've been noticing that the size of fruit seems to be getting larger.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It's a strange trend, and I think they're doing that. I think they're encouraging these larger varieties and leaving them on the trees longer to get them to become bigger so that they'll make more money from the sale. But as a result, you give a little kid an apple, and, I mean, there's just so much food there, there's no way they're going to eat it all.
And usually the smaller apple has more flavor than the big apple.
Yeah, and that's a sad tale in our food industry, is that taste has kind of been bumped aside.
So at the supermarket, did they donate discarded food?
By the end of my time there, we had started donating. And to be honest, it was just as simple as putting the supermarket in touch with the nonprofit. And once they found out that the nonprofit would come to the store and collect the goods, it was a fairly easy sell.
Then there's also baked goods. What kind of a shelf life do baked goods have?
Well, there's so much excess baked goods, especially in a city like New York. I went out with City Harvest one time and we collected so many bagels. It's almost like the food pantries don't know what to do with all of them. So donation is certainly saintly stuff, but we need to work on the kinds of foods that are donated, because it's the proteins and the fresh produce. That's the food that they need the most.
And we're seeing more and more prepared food being made available in places like Whole Foods, but all over the city. That must have a very brief shelf life.
Yes, it certainly doesn't last too long. And most of those prepared foods from the supermarkets aren't donated, especially when it's on a self-serve line. You can't donate that by law. So I'd love to see the stores that have the prepared foods behind glass and served by a staff member. I'd love to see more donation of that. But places are a little leery of those donations, even though they're protected by the Good Samaritan law.
There are places that were worried about that they might be sued if somebody got sick. Walmart, which is the largest food retail in the United States, banned the donation of outdated food in 2006, and then they reversed themselves last year?
Yeah, I think Walmart's kind of seen the light a little bit on a lot of environmental issues, but they've pledged to reduce waste by 10 to 15% in their grocery departments. And to be fair, they probably have plenty of low-hanging fruit that they can get to, so it wouldn't be that difficult to trim that much of their waste. But certainly a benevolent move.
Are there certain foods that even the most generous are reluctant to donate?
Yeah, the extra perishable goods like proteins, such as meats and seafoods, there aren't many stores that are donating that. So, that's the kind of thing where stores could freeze it and then they might feel better about donating. And I should say that supermarkets and restaurants, they are protected from liability if they give in good faith. But I think the real fear there is that they'll be sued and that their name will be dragged through the mud. But I've spoken with a number of people in this industry, and no one can recall any kind of suit where someone who's giving food has been sued.
My guest is Jonathan Bloom. His book, American Wasteland, is published by DeCapo. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Today's school lunches are in the news because of suggestions by Michelle Obama. How much waste is there in school lunches?
Oh, there's a whole bunch, and there's a study that broke it down by the kind of food, and not surprisingly for anyone who's been young, and that would probably be all of us, the vegetables are the things that are wasted the most, followed by fruits. A lot of times I think we've gotten into this habit of giving kids foods that we know they'll eat because we're worried about the calories. Now I think we've come to the opposite conclusion, and we're worried about getting them to eat more healthy food. But serving them a whole plate of food is one of the causes of the waste, and a better strategy that many schools are doing is giving them a choice. And whenever there's choice in the food industry or in a restaurant or anywhere, you're going to have a lot less waste.
Could food be saved simply by having recess before lunch instead of after it?
That's a great move, and many schools have started to do that, and I think I don't understand why every school doesn't do that. Let kids build up their appetite at recess and then come in hungry. When it's the other way around, the kids' minds are so focused on getting out and playing that they'll often just rush through their lunch and not eat much.
Some colleges with all-you-can-eat meal plans discovered that they could cut food waste dramatically by not having the clientele use trays.
Yeah, it's almost like removing the trays saved us from ourselves. Our eyes are so much bigger than our stomachs that people would go through and take two or three entrees and maybe eat a half of each. But if you have to actually go back there and get seconds, then you're probably not going to do it unless you actually want to eat that second plate.
At Reed College in Oregon, there's a tradition called scrounging. What's that?
Scrounging's a funky little tradition where some students will opt out of a meal plan and just eat others' leftovers. And it's been going on since the 60s, so it's really ingrained. And the boarding students, the ones who pay for their food, know that there are these scroungers who will take their leftovers, and often they'll actually buy things for them. But anyway, it's one thing that shows is that the portions are just so large that if you're eating a normal lunch, chances are, or any meal, you're going to have all kinds of extras.
Now, I would think that a lot of the waste just occurs in our own refrigerator. The other day, I discovered a whole bunch of eggplants that had developed some kind of a fungal disease. And I was embarrassed, just hadn't felt like eating eggplant. And then they went bad.
Well, don't be too embarrassed. It happens to everyone, myself included. There was a study done in a county in upstate New York, and they looked at the waste that happens throughout this county, and they found that households produce the most of any portion of the food chain, and it was 40%. So there's good news and bad news there. The bad news is that we, as individuals, are extremely wasteful. But the good news is that we have a real role to play here, and if everyone pitches in and strives to trim their waste a little bit, we will be able to make a significant impact.
You asked some of your friends to inventory everything that was in the refrigerator, and the tally turned out to be rather shocking, didn't it? There were dozens and dozens of items. Some of it was bound to go to waste. Why was so much of it in the refrigerator?
Well, I think we have this fear of an empty refrigerator and the idea that if you see those empty shelves, we're going to go hungry. There's some sort of instinct there. But what happens is we end up filling our refrigerators, and so many of us today have these massive, massive refrigerators, maybe less so in the city, but so many people out there have these fridges that are so large that when we do fill them, there's no way we can eat all that food before it goes bad.
Sarah on the Upper East Side wrote in, what about bent and dent grocery stores? My parents in Pennsylvania shop at a store that sells near expire or dented cans that's run by the Amish. I know it saves food, but it seems like another class division since their customers are lower middle class and the poor.
Yeah, well, I'm not so worried about those class divisions. I mean, I think if there's a market for these goods, then people are going to be happy and there's food that's going to be used. We don't grow this food to throw it out. So I'd rather see people who will appreciate the food and know how to use stuff that might be a tiny bit off. I'd rather see them get it.
You quote the old saying, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. But that isn't the American way, is it?
Well, it used to be. It isn't anymore. I think.
Even though we're going through a recession and people are having really hard times?
Well, I think what happens today is that we're so busy that we don't have time to use things up. And the easier thing is just to pick up the phone and order pizza or get takeout somewhere. A lot of times as well, we've lost some of that know-how. We've lost some of those old-time tricks to use up food and to repurpose leftovers into another meal. Those kinds of skills aren't being passed down as much because we're not really cooking as much.
We've inspired listeners to come up with all sorts of other cases. One points out that there are these endless buffets at casino hotels which throw out the food on the buffet at the end of the meal. Somebody else asks about cooking classes at places like the Culinary Institute, and Alyssa says that PS321 in his neighborhood threw out a ton of oranges, milk, and then bananas, and nobody said a word.
Yeah, well, sadly, that's not surprising. Everywhere the food is served, there's going to be excess. And if you don't have a plan for dealing with it, or if you haven't set out to reduce that waste beforehand, chances are it's going to be thrown out.
You have a blog called Wasted Food with links to a number of food recovery groups. Is that a growing movement?
It is. And all across the nation, most major cities have a group that will come and pick up food that would otherwise be thrown out. And I think that's certainly a nice thing to see, but I would imagine that most of these groups would love to be put out of business and to have there be so much less food that is wasted.
You said that we're not the only wasteful country, that most of the industrialized world is, but other countries have been working on ways of dealing with this. There was a big article on Sweden's complex for biogas, was it, this weekend in the Times. Are other countries doing better than us? Do the French take care of their waste in a better way than we do? They definitely cook better than we do.
For sure. Well, most of Europe has had to be wiser with their waste because there's a landfill directive that's that's banning food from landfills in most countries with staggered dates. But simply, you know, telling people that they can't throw food in the trash bin would go a long way toward reducing the amount of waste we create. It would also help the composting infrastructure get going and the waste-to-energy industry, like we saw in that article in Sweden. So, you know, a little policy push here or there will go a long way toward prompting behavior change.
Jonathan Bloom has written for The New York Times, The Washington Post, Boston Globe, Newsweek, Variety, among other publications. His book, American Wasteland, How America Throws Away Nearly Half of Its Food and What Can Be Done About It, is published by DiCapo. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.